Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Ghost. He loves us all, each of us all. He loves us. Not just the good and prudent, but the bad and the foolish. He loves them too. Never forget the fact that God loves everybody. That would help you to, excuse me. Listen, y'all, I struggle with my throat. I want y'all to pray for my throat. if it bothers you and it interrupts it, the broadcast, I hate it too. So I ask the audience to help pray. Ask the Lord to heal Apostle's throat so it don't get scratchy like that. I used to paint cars and I've suffered with sinus problems. Sometimes my throat do good and sometimes it goes out on me. I don't like that. Sometimes I have to stop the broadcast to clear my throat. So pray for me. Now, see, Paul asked for prayer. He said pray for his boldness. So that's a good thing. We don't have to suffer through stuff alone. Don't forget that either, because I promise you this. If you try to stand alone, the devils don't stand alone. They go get help. When they harass your life, they go get each other's help. But nevertheless, putting that aside, today is December the 22nd, Wednesday, December 22nd. And this is the day that the Lord has made. Thank God for it. And I want to, the Lord put some things on my heart, but never forget that God loves each individual, every soul. Is highly valuable to God. But he can't take everybody to heaven. And that's what we want to deal with. The will of man. The strangest thing to me is the will of man. The will of man is the most puzzling thing I ever encountered. The Lord have always, when I first started reading the word, the Lord would tell people what to watch out for, what to do. And they'll do the opposite. And I'm like, why do people always do the opposite? Why do men always fail? Why don't they just do what God said? Now, the Word of God gives us a God's eye view of life. The Word of God gives us a God's eye view. If you take time to study it, not just skim over it, not just read a few verses. If you study it to live by, it gives you a God's eye view. Yes, it does. It gives you a God's eye view, and that God's eye view increases as you continue in the things of God, doing them in your life, doing your part, not God's part, but doing your part. Learning to live in His strength, learning to trust Him, learning to obey Him. That's when you start seeing things in a greater way. But the Word of God gives you a It's a notable difference. When I read about Adam, I said, why did he eat off the tree? When I read about how Moses smote the rock instead of speaking to it, why did he just speak to it? You know, but it's easy from the God's eye view. But what he was looking at, see, I learned this over time. If something changes your focus, it changes you with it. So, years later, it used to grieve me to the core that when people disobey God and it cost them everything. It cost them more than they ever thought about. And the opposite of that is true, too. I found that to be certain. If you trust God, it blesses you in ways you couldn't measure before. But it grieved me when people kept taking the South Road instead of the North Road and doing it God's way. And I started saying, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do what God say do. Then, here I am in the mix trying to govern and navigate my life. And then, I love God. I'm seeking to do things His way. But along comes trouble. Hindrances, other people's opinions. And my goal is to do it God's way. And if you mess around and tell somebody your Holy Ghost idea, they're not going to take it to God in prayer. They're going to immediately tell you not to do it, or tell you what they would do in place of it. And you got to deal with them with that weight. Paul said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. So I had to learn to keep my mouth closed. When I have Holy Ghost ideas, I don't just tell anybody. I tell people who have earned my trust. Not only that, I've had people to speak confirmations by the Holy Spirit. They spoke it, and then they told me to do something different when they wasn't in the Spirit. So the will of man is strange to me. If you take God at His word, I'm always talking about having faith in God, trusting Him. Now, great, there are excellent ministers that I learned from that did an excellent job about teaching people about faith. But trust is something else. That's if people trusted God, if they had the revelation of trust, their ministries would be off the charts. As incredible as many people's ministry became, it would be multiplied by now. Even greater than its highest peak, when they had the best crusades and the best camp meetings, when they used to pack out auditoriums. Well, some of them can't pack out auditoriums anymore. But that's not the focus. The focus is, if you trust God and do what He say, a lot of things that need to happen will happen. A lot of problems that exist today will be solved by now. And remember something, we learn over time, precept by precept, here a little and there a little. That's how humanity learns from the Lord. Now, when you're in cooperation, God can accelerate you. He can download a book in you. He did that for me. He gave me a book in a flash of a moment. And I never had writer's block when I wrote it. Called The Cost of Freedom. He can do that. He can do miracles and give you information, but you have to be faithful with it. But the will of man is the strangest thing I ever seen in my life. The will of man is stranger than Satan to me. Satan is bad. You know where he's coming from. He's bad. He comes to kill, steal, destroy. Nothing else. He don't like you. He don't like God. He probably don't even like his own shadow. But he don't puzzle me like people do. The will of man. I used to think that people would love to see what God has to say and talk about. Now, I'm judging it from my end. I went to the Lord in prayer and asked the Lord questions, and He gave me beautiful answers. I asked Him, and I don't ask easy questions because I'm talking to somebody that knows everything. I'm not trying to test Him. I want to know. That's it. So I asked the hard questions. I asked things that I'm curious about. And then I asked the best way to do things that I'm already doing. And I still got a long way to go. There's a lot of things that I want to make better. But the things that I do first and foremost is what God brings to my attention. So, the reason I say that is because when you do it God's way, you learn every time I ask the Lord a question, I don't just learn what I'm after. I learn many other principles with it. And it made my life so much better and gave me many more capabilities. And I see things others don't seem to see anyway. But this is my struggle. This is my problem. Or this is a problem I notice. What I desire to see others go in God's presence and hear from Him, asking Him the hard questions. And this is why I long for that, because if they're already bearing fruit, God's going to cause them to bear much more fruit in a multiplied way. and I walk around knowing this. If they can keep pride out of their life, God will fill them up with knowledge that we all need, not just others, but me. See, some things I can learn because of my character, because of my makeup, the way God made me. I became a mechanic because I like to know how things work, I guess. And that's the talent that he gave. I can put things together in my mind and build it. I can look at something and make it better or make it easier or easier to deal with. You know, these are gifts. But when it comes to knowledge, I look at the purpose. You know, I say, Lord, why? I notice the way God do things, and I know that he's reserved about just doing things. He does things that's necessary, and he does things for his own pleasure. But whatever he does, whatever he gives the best. He always does the best. He makes things in a way, the way he does it is best for the situation. When he gave us a Savior, he became our Savior. He became a man for us, and he's going to forever be a man. Jesus will always be a man. He can't die. He can't change that now. That's it. He's a man now. Before that, he was the Word of God. So now, he did that for us. God always gives his best. When they asked for a king, he gave them the goodliest choice at the time. David was too young. But Saul was, he was there, and God loved Saul. But he was the best choice at that time. That's all. See, Satan wanted them to have a king too. That's why they wanted one. Satan been trying to usher in a king for a long time before King Saul. Because he can manipulate one man easier than he can a nation. He's always wanted somebody to take Nimrod's place. He never had another Nimrod, but the Antichrist will be just like Nimrod was. And the whole world will follow him. They'll try to create another one world government. But it's going to collapse, and it's going to end in poverty in every form against all who trust it. Now, the thing is this, though, the will of man, why would people stoop so low as to worship the enemy of God? That's puzzling when God is good. He gave you life, the ability to have a beautiful family. Even children, families that have children that may have a birth defect or a mental disorder. I've seen families that have struggles that way, and they love each other. And the child loves them, and they love the child. And they, you know, they take turns doing things for the child. It's just a blessing to see that kind of love here. And sin is here, so we're going to have problems that shouldn't be. And yes, Jesus heals. He does heal. He heals, not only heals, but he makes whole. But people have to believe him for it. But there again, the Lord want to do good, but man don't gets in the way. Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. He gave us all these promises. He said, when two or three of you gather together in my name, there am I in the midst. So our most complicated problem situations can be solved. And you know, people that have birth defects, born without arms, born without legs, that is not a problem. God can heal them too. But first, you got to be able to believe him. Well, I just don't think I can believe for that. Can you grow? And if you ask anybody, the real answer is yes, you can grow. You were microscopic at your beginning. sperm and an egg, microscopic. It would take a high-powered microscope to see you. But here you are, millions of times larger. You can grow in your faith. It don't have to happen in one day. But see, that kind of humbleness, it comes from relationship. It don't just come from going to church. It don't just come from studying the word. It comes from relationship. See, I walk around knowing this, that if people had relationships, a lot of things, if they strengthen their relationship with God, a lot of things would be possible that's totally impossible right now. And totally impossible for that person. There are no limitations in the God kind of obedience, which comes from relationship. You're not going to trust God in the greater measures unless you spend time with him. But, and also, if you pull off the most magnificent feat, if you get a child that's born with no arms and you believe God and God give them arms again, which happens, you won't be the first to do that. In heaven, there's a warehouse full of body parts. I didn't see it myself, but Robert Schlieden wrote about it. Henry Groover saw it. Other people that went to heaven, they saw a warehouse with body parts for us to believe we can go get them when we want them. And the way to do that, you have to overcome. You're going to have to break through the confines of your mind, the confines of your culture, the people around you. You got to break through those barriers. You got to break through Satan's opposition, just like Daniel did in Daniel chapter, 9 or 10? The Lord had given him a vision, and he was determined to get his answer. And he fasted 21 days. He said, I eat no pleasant bread until I get my answer. And he kept the prayers going for that vision until Gabriel brought it to him and Michael helped him. There was interference. The reason people don't break through is because of interference. They don't break through the interference. And again, when you have a Holy Ghost idea, you can't share it with your family sometime. You got to get your family on board if you can. Otherwise, you got to do all the believing yourself and ask the Lord to help you. And one of the 9 gifts that God has given us is the gift of faith. When I intercede for nations, I intercede sometimes just because I want to, because that's my civil duty. I'm a citizen of this country, and I have authority on the earth, and I can pray for nations. I can pray for other nations beside my own. I can't vote in every nation, but I can pray for other nations to get the will of God done. I can stop the principalities that's over the other nations causing havoc. But when the Lord bring it to me, when he tell me to pray for it, I know I use the faith I got, and whatever I don't have, he'll give it to me, and I get the job done. See, you don't have to have all the strength, all the knowledge, and all the wisdom. Living a life of obedience to God, you're more apt to obey him in those moments. Those are moments of triumph. And a lot of people are living without that. They're too busy. And they don't spend time with the Lord. They don't get close enough to know that what they can really be doing. The will of man puzzles me. And I know that God will help anybody that will ask. David said, he that dwells in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Most High. Why should it be a secret place? That's a problem all by itself. That kind of close relationship should not be a secret. But so many people are so doggone busy that they never take time with their phone. And they never learn what they can be doing. And people of faith, I've tried to tell people, give them clues. They'll rather talk about something else. Puzzles me. Why? I don't know. Now, I'm over for a very long time. I've been getting all kind of answers from the Lord about life. Things that most people would not relate to. There are very few people I can tell about what the Lord has taught me. Sometimes I try to whet people's appetite for it. And that don't work either. It puzzles me. God is not just good to me. He's good to everybody. And I know this. Not only that, I met people that the Lord talked to that way. I love talking to them. The enemy don't like for us to talk. But I love to talk to my friends and my minister friends that draw near to the Lord. They tell me what the Lord been teaching them. And I write it on the table in my heart. Some people just have a preaching, a minister relationship with the Lord. They can receive a message that's off the charts and blessing. I thank God for that. But what I'm talking about is something even greater than that. I'm talking about when people draw near to the Lord and learn things that most people don't. Not just ministry things. And God wants to do more than just build a big congregation. He wants to interact with his people. And it's so interesting when people do. But the will of man again. Now let's look. Let's take a snapshot of how it should be. David asked a question. Psalms 15. The only verse that David is talking is verse 1. All David did was ask the question. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Now, remember something about David. He used the word tabernacle. Tabernacle is a tent. David used to be a warrior. On the battlefield, when they were done fighting for the day, and the battle's over, or they're waiting until the next one, they lived in tents. And then different soldiers would have different friends that were more personal friends than others. So he noticed how they would go in there, you know, they would branch off and they would talk to their friends. And they'll visit each other in their tents and talk, eat, drink, whatever, socialize. And I believe that's how he came up with this question. Lord, what kind of person or who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? What kind of person would you want to hang out with? Then, verse 2, the Lord answers. He said, he that walketh uprightly, that's 1, and worketh righteousness, that's 2, and speaketh the truth in his heart, that's 3. He speaks the truth in his heart. He's of the truth. He's not a liar. Those are the first 3 things. Then he said, he that backbiteth not with his tongue. He don't speak negatively against others to destroy. He backbiteth not with his tongue. That's 4. Nor doeth evil to his neighbor. That's 5. Nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. That's 6. Then he kept going. He said, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. That's 7. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. That's 8. He that swears to his own hurt and changes not. That's 9. You know that part of verse 4. When I would make a deal with somebody, I would stick with it even if it was a loss to me. And God bless me for that. I lost a lot of money because of opening my mouth too fast. Not because I kept my word, but because I opened my mouth too fast. And God worked with me as a businessman. When I made poor deals that was against me and my family, I still made it good. Then he said, verse 5, he that putteth not out his money to usury. 10. Nor taketh reward against the innocent. 11. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. That's, now, all of this was the Lord's answer. That's the kind of person that will receive from, that's a pure person. That's a pure-hearted person. Now, if you're that way, if you're pure in your heart, you got another problem. And I'm going to show it to you now. This helps unravel the puzzle that I suffer with so much. Now, in this is Titus verse 1, chapter 1, verse 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure. Now, that's the problem with pure people. Because they believe something that's not true. To the pure, all things are pure. When you're pure in your heart, you think that your first response or your first reflex is to believe that other people are just like you are. That's something all people have in common until they learn better. And that goes for everybody, even Satan. He thought Job would be like him. But to the pure, all things are pure. The angels looking at us every day, they ask Gideon, why have you done this? They don't understand why we would turn against God. Why would we turn away from the things of God? Even the Lord asked them, why have you done this? Now the Lord knew, because see, what gives us away about the Lord knows everything. He's got this. He's a professional. He knows. He said that Jesus was the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth, or before the foundation of the earth. Consider that. Now, he knew where this was going. But to the pure, all things are pure. We're not professionals like God is. But to them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. That's the other problem we got. You may be pure, thinking others are pure. But see, when they are defiled, if they're living somewhere, they can't see you as pure anymore. They think you're like they are. That's two problems we got. To the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. Their mind and their conscience is defiled. They cannot see you as pure. But when you continue to live in the light, you get their attention. And they can't. There's nothing in their wheelhouse that can justify it. They have to deal with the fact that you're not like them. And over time, it'll be realized. Now watch this other third part. They profess that they know God because there's an advantage in knowing God. It's a bad business decision to say you don't know God among people that love Him. It's way out of character to say, well, to profess that something against God, even though they're defiled because they're living. See, leavened people, they portray themselves a certain way. They act like they love God or they honor God with their mouth. But see, God is looking for pure people. Pure people, they see things totally different than the wicked. See, once a person starts being leavened, they change. They're not pure anymore, and they think other people are like them. That's why the enemy gets away with so much. See, when you're leavened, if you're leavened in lust, or if you're leavened in greed, you change. You're not the same person anymore. You're not the one that you left your first. When anybody leave their first love, they are different. They are not like they were when they first started out with that fresh first love towards Jesus. But to the pure, all things are pure. But to them that are defiled, once you're defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. Leaven produces more leaven, and it gets worse. Then they profess that they come to the point they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. No good. The will of man. It puzzles me. But it's because they can't have, if you allow any leaven in your being, it will corrupt you to the point that every work you do will be reprobate. And some people's work, the judgment, there's a judgment of the believer's works. If your motives are wrong, all of your hard work is going to burn up like wood. All the works that you did that was for show and tell, a dog and pony show, just to be seen, just to get gain, that's going to burn up like paper. I'm not talking about you now. It's not personal. Anybody that does this. I did say you, but I meant people. Anybody's work with the wrong motives. See, we have to go back to what's true. People, they can't find, if you have to be pure to be in God's tent. And then if you do that, if you live in the secret place, you're going to learn things you can't learn any other way. Well, once a person is leavened, they change and become hopeless. That's why repentance is so good. You know, I used to look forward to the rapture, but now I'm kind of scared of it. I'm kind of scared of what I'm going to see. And I'm not a man of fear. Unless people repent and drive out the darkness, they won't be rapture ready. He said, tell my people my return is imminent. Be ready.